Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
An F? A failure? ESPN destroying the Dallas Cowboys trade for Quinnen Williams. It'll be their next second rounder and then the first round pick a year after that in the 2027 draft. Whichever pick is higher between the Cowboys and Green Bay. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt with you here on the home of America's team.
By the way, can you recall a trade like that in the NFL where they've done the whichever of your picks is higher, like almost like pick swaps in the NBA?
Right. I can't remember that.
When they threw that out there yesterday, I was like, I can't remember an NFL trade being dictated like that.
Creative.
Yeah, I mean, it's good on the Jets to guarantee something, but I just, and obviously there's not always opportunity to be able to
do
that.
Yeah, not often do you have two firsts.
I wonder, that means they can't trade their other first rounder if they wanted to, does it?
Oh.
People were asking that yesterday. I did not know.
Makes sense.
An F?
Yeah, so I got a lot of the grades from all these publications. So the Athletic gave the Cowboys a B- and the Jets an A. Yahoo gave the Cowboys an A, the Jets a C. CBS, Cowboys B-, Jets A-. SI, Cowboys B+, Jets A. SB Nation, Cowboys A, Jets B+. USA Today, Cowboys B+, Jets A-. Walter Football gave the Cowboys an A and the Jets a D. They said if the Jets don't nail these picks, they'll be one of the worst teams in the league for a long time. I'm like, dude, they're already one of the worst teams in the league, and they've been that way for a long time.
Yep.
ESPN gave the Jets an A- and the Cowboys an F. Two different articles on grades, one by Ben Solak, one by Seth Walter. Solak said the deadline biggest loser is the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
He said, and some of the write-up here, his 23 season, in which he had a pressure rate of 16.3%, remains the most disruptive ever. But, like Sauce Gardner, his play has tailed off in recent years, pressure rate of 12% in 24 and 8% so far this year. His time to pressure is also failing. Bobby mentioned that was maybe scheme dependent. He did bring up the scheme return to White Cotton might help. The Cowboys already had a penetrative defensive tackle in Osa, whom they just extended, a 14% pressure rate in 2023, 11% in 24. So they go on and talking about how the total of $47 million, you know, if he continues to play well, could cash in again. But then you get over to...
And he also said not convinced he's one of the five best players at his position. Mm. And they start off, both these guys writing for ESPN. I quote tweeted this yesterday. It's not me, X. I'm glad that Jerry Jones has recently become obsessed with solving Dallas's run D. It's a worthy pursuit. This was not a good way to go about it, though. Bobby, did you look at any of the rest of this write-up?
No, I looked at the Seth Walder grade, that initial like blurb that existed for it, and then when he said F, and then I remembered he gave George Pickens trade, I think like a C plus, and said the Steelers won that trade, then I remembered he's an idiot.
This is not a good trade in a vacuum, and it looks even worse when you remember the Cowboys traded Mike away for two first rounders. The only difference in trade return between the Parsons deal and the Williams deal was swapping a first for a second, and now the Cowboys are paying Williams with the money they would have used in part to pay Micah. Here's a hypothetical. The Packers' two first-round picks end up both at 29. Two losses in the NFC Championship. You know what? I'm not going through all
that. That's what we talked about earlier.
Okay.
With the two firsts.
It might bear good returns on the football field. Williams is a highly disruptive and talented player, but on the trade value scales, this deal was heavily weighted to the Jets.
Walder gave the Steelers the win in the trade with Pickens. Walder gave the Jets an A last year for trading a third rounder for Devontae Adams. And then had to recycle back to it and go like, oh yeah, by the way, that didn't totally work out. He gave the Bills an A plus for the Amari Cooper trade and then came back a few months later and said it was a D plus.
Can you text all that to me so I can get the credit in writing that back to him on there?
Yep.
So the Cowboy fans would think I was hating on the trade yesterday by quote tweeting. Well, now see the other side.
He's looking at this from the team building perspective. Because clearly on the field, it is a good move. It is a good, they're a better football team. Is it a little grotesque from a team building perspective? Yeah, you give it up a 1 and 2 for a player. That's in his late 20s.
For two players who probably are not going to be as good as that one.
Maybe not.
Probably
maybe
not.
But I wasn't looking to get players. I was looking to get a quarterback for the future. That's what I was. I was looking to tank to be better.
How soon do you want to move on from Dak?
I don't want to go beyond
that.
This
should answer everything.
I don't want to go beyond this contract.
I don't know that. I don't think the Cowboys think of it that way at all.
But why can't
I agree?
But why can't you get your quarterback still?
Well, because you're just you. By doing this, you're extending Dak's window. So you're probably not going to get a quarterback. You're probably not going to take a quarterback within the next
Dak's year. Deal in all reality has how many years left, Bobby? This one.
2.5, probably.
2.5.
Yeah, it's legit. Okay,
so that's not extending it. That's matching it. It's running along the same exact course.
Is it?
Yeah. Williams, I mean, I think it's too much in a vacuum to be like, oh, Williams equals Dak's window. Williams is 2 years or 2.5 or 1.5?
2.5.
2.5.
Yeah, I understand that. What I'm saying, because Dak's, the problem is Dak's cap number is 70-something million next year.
So
is that right?
So you're saying they're going to have to redo it and then extend
it. They're
going
to have to redo it. And by redoing it, you're just kicking the money can because you're not going to get the full value of the cheap quarterback if you have
but
money.
But what were they going to do otherwise next year, even if they
hopefully be worse. Be worse.
Okay.
That's it.
This is part of their argument for why they said it was good to move on from Micah, though. Because they're like, we now have $47 million in flexibility that we didn't know we were going to have. And then some people go, well, you've added people since then. It's like, yeah, but one of the guys you got, Kenny Clark, none of his $20 million salary is guaranteed next year. You can cut it and free up $20 million off your cap like that.
Walder likes the player.
Everyone does.
Everyone does. This is his write-up. He goes, there's no way to put it. This is a horrific trade. It's completely unfathomable for a team like Dallas to be trading away major draft resources for a soon-to-be 28-year-old tackle on a salary-heavy contract in a season when it has a 7% chance to make the playoffs, yet here we are.
By the way, I'm not looking at it like that for this year. This is not
for this year.
Jerry may look at it. He's going to sell it to us on Friday at 10:30 with KNC. The Cowboys, to me, are not making the playoffs. I'm getting ready to have another $300 type bet with Roberto, but they're not making the postseason. I need next year for me to feel good about the defense. And him being 28 years old, next year, okay, with whatever else you add in the offseason and the draft. But yeah, if you want to say the world is ending today and the Dallas Cowboys have to make the playoffs, like, I get what he's saying, like, but I'm not thinking of it just this season. That was the part of our criteria yesterday about having team control.
When Seth Walder's talking about an almost 28-year-old, like, gosh, we're looking at the end here, essentially. If you look at the top 10 defensive tackles on Fowler's list before the season, Chris Jones is 31. You've got Leonard Williams is 31. DeForest Buckner is 30. Vita Vea is 30. Cameron Hayward is 36. Defensive tackle is not. You get old man strength.
You do get old man strength. But what worries me too is Kenny Clark. Like, Kenny Clark is 30, going to be, well, he just turned 30, and I think we're talking about him being gone already.
Like, right, and I don't think he would be gone, except for now that they've got Quinn, and it's like, all right, well, this just doesn't make sense from resources perspective. Yeah. This is the guy we wanted for Mike all along anyway. We'll make him.
But Kenny Clark has not been what they promised.
No, he has.
And I would trade Clark. I would try to trade him instead of cut him.
I just look at first-round picks as, like, that's a 10-year ticket. And the problem is that Quinnen Williams is not going to be a 10-year player. To me, every first-round pick you have, your expectation is they will be there for 10 years.
With a 40% or less reality.
Sure, that's fine. That's fine.
But you have to factor that in. You would rather have the 40% possibility of 10 years
than 100% possibility of three.
Yes.
100%.
Okay.
Every single day of the week. I've said I'm not looking to win a Super Bowl. I'm looking to win multiple.
Okay.
And that's just team building to me.
So you got Zach. Outside of Zach, Tyron. Zach and Tyron. And Tyron may not have gotten to 10 years here. Did he? Yeah, he did. Zach and Tyron are the only ones really in the last 20
years
that
made 10 years. Don't take 10, literally. Like, 8's fine. I got to live, you know what I mean? Like,
well, you get the 5 years of the rookie deal, and then you want an extension.
And then you want an extension, yeah.
So 9.
So, yeah, sure. Like, you know, it's not 3.
Let's continue with Seth Walder giving them an F. It is, go ahead, Chop.
All right, so he said, don't let the negative rhetoric on Williams fool you. He's a great player, top 8 in pass rush win rate, defensive tackle every season. Had at least 5.5 sacks in each of those years. He appears to have dropped a bit in the pass rushing front this year with just the 1 sack. But even if that's fallen off, his run stop win rate of almost 47% is 2nd in the NFL among interior defenders. The Cowboys need all the help they can get. They're 29th in EPA allowed against the pass and 30th against the run. They had to be the highest bidder to get him, who would have been really valuable for some teams. But at 3-5-1, that's not the case. So the value of some of the draft capital and paying half the $16.5 million owed in salary and per-game roster bonuses is lost by Dallas's position in the standings. He liked the Logan Wilson selection, trade, I should say. The value they gain is really for 26 and 27 when he's only going to be older, but they're not getting those years for free. It's salary-heavy as opposed to bonus-heavy, so assuming the contract is untouched, they're going to pay 21.5 and 25.5 in the next 2 years. So that's where... And then he goes into the Jets. They can't believe their fortune. By the time they're contenders, Williams will be so bad it won't matter.
I don't know Seth Walder. I think, Choppy, you're a big fan of his work.
Is he not the... who's the guy that's the father of all the... He's one
of the ESPN analytics guys.
But yeah. The writing in this with F and then it's a horrific trade makes me think he's a little bit of a headline whore. I'm just guessing that. I don't really know him, but this is very, like, extreme.
Yeah, and then you've got the other side of it, which is Deontay Lee at the Ringer, who said that we have mocked Jones for the Parsons trade in August, justifiably so, but now it's possible that the net return helped Dallas ultimately break even. And if you're considering the contracts, there's an argument that Dallas is the winner in the end.
I went and looked at the other grades that he gave. He gave the Colts a D, the Jets an A. So he's basically like, if you're getting the first round picks, you're winning the trade, right? Which I think we all agree with, right?
No.
No, I just told you why I didn't agree with it. You don't think
the Jets won the sauce or this deal?
I don't know. Like,
well, you can't worry about who they get because that's not part
of
the equation.
Yes, I can. Yeah, it is part of the equation. It's my equation. Draft picks are failures. You are completely overlooking the failure rate. They just got rid of Mozzie Smith. You could get trash garbage. And we have defensively. But you and Walder and all these draft nerds are like, oh, it's just automatic. You get high off of the first round value without factoring in the fail.
You have said you can only make a decision. You've agreed with me that you can only make your determination, your grade, at the time of the move. That what happens later.
But I have to factor in that 4 people around me may be the right pick, and I have a 1 in 4 chance of getting that right player. I have to get Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb instead of Henry Ruggs. That has to be factored in.
But that, again, the point is that at the time that you pick, are those players available? Now, if you miss on those players, you miss.
Well,
on
you
those
have
players.
To factor in the miss possibility. Might,
that's possible. No doubt. But it's not.
If the Jets draft Mozzie Smith, we don't have enough time to disagree about it. My point is they can draft Mozzie Smith and Taco Charlton. Your point is they could draft
T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
So it's we're just going to agree to disagree on it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's just like everybody.
Like Sauce Gardner. The Jets could find Jaden Williams next year, and then you've given away a 24-year-old corner. It's just stupid. You can rebuild quickly in the National Football League. All it takes is getting the right quarterback. No one has said that more than you. And you've given away a 24-year-old corner, 25-year-old corner, for what?
Oh, now they have a chance.
Because you don't think you're ever going to have someone play at quarterback for the next 4 years? You had a 24-year-old corner who you just signed. You'd have to trade him.
You didn't have to trade him, but now they position themselves
to get a bust. Another great player.
Or a great player. I mean, the Bills were terrible, and they fall into Josh Allen, and that's all it took.
And they fell into Josh Allen because the Jets took Sam Darnold ahead of them.
That's the point. You want it doesn't matter where you are.
But Choppy,
all that matters is who's available.
You put no value in the known. All you care about is the unknown fantasy. You care about the darts.
Uh-huh.
And okay, well, that's not foolproof.
Oh, it's not. No, I recognize that.
So then why are you fighting me so much?
I'm not fighting you. It's just a philosophical difference, and it's just I happen to be right.
877-881-1053. Let's take a look inside the film room at what makes Logan Wilson and Quinnen Williams positive additions, in Bobby's opinion. Next, and below the belt, right here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We are commercial-free Hump Day edition on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. The difference in energy is palpable after reacting to the Cardinals. See, this is the problem, really. Jerry Jones runs the Cowboys like I want the radio show to go. Like, what's the next piece of news? Let's just fill the next day. How do we keep the excitement day to day? When Micah got dealt, I told Bobby this is the worst thing that can happen because they're going to start stinking and then fans are going to check out. And we want weekly, monthly, and yearly ratings. And unfortunately, Jerry Jones looks at it the same way. How do I stop? Forget about 2 years from now. Forget about the big picture. Forget about a program. how do I go ahead and save the second half of the season, get you for the offseason and next year? We're in for the next year and a half. Period. Done. Like heading to training camp, what are they going to do in the offseason? Quinnen Williams is going to have a full program of OTAs and mini camp. And that may not be, I know, the RJ Choppy way of doing things. Nick Eatman, we said he's got way too much Jerry in him, and he's probably going to be doing cartwheels at 9:20 this morning. But Quinnen Williams is a Dallas Cowboy for a first and a second round pick, and Pro Football Focus ranks him as the best run-stopping interior lineman in football with a run D grade of 90.8. 2 years left on the four-year deal at $96 million. So it's not a crazy deal for the Cowboys to absorb. There's also room to rework or extend if he is traded. $24 million a season. Micah's making 46. When I go and look at what he was regarded as in the offseason, I went to Jeremy Fowler's list, and he asks all the executives throughout the league for the top 10 at each position. This past offseason, Quinnen Williams, a D-tackle, highest ranking was third, lowest ranking was eighth. He came in overall at number five. The year before, he was ranked number two. Here's what they wrote. Williams has been one of the constants amid persistent Jets changes, going on three straight Pro Bowls, has 23.5 sacks during that span. An NFL personnel man, true three-down player, talented inside rusher who is fully capable against the run. Solid yet unspectacular in most categories, including pass rush win rate, 13%, RJ. Incompletions created, 16, and quarterback hits, 18. One complaint from an AFC exec is that Williams gets pushed around in the run game at times, but that's nitpicking an elite player. One AFC scout said Quinnen did not have much help around him inside, prompting defenses to key on him. He also battled through a hamstring issue. Quote from a coordinator, he's a guy you have to dedicate a game plan to, one of the most complete interior guys in the game. That was before the season and this big monster run grade that he's putting up in different metrics.
Yeah, there's no doubt they're a better football team today. I don't think you can make that argument at all.
Of course not.
It's just, to me, they're just going closer to the middle when I want them to go closer to the bottom because I want to rebuild this whole thing. That the only way to get to the top is to get to the bottom first. That's just my philosophical thing. So I'll never trade a first for when you're bad. And this is a bad team. And to me, trading a first-round pick is no good.
What do you say to the thing that we have been discussing all season, though? And we all kind of agreed on this. If you can get to 19th defensively, you can be what as a contender? And next year, can Quinnen Williams, Logan Wilson, whatever else they do in the offseason, safety, secondary, I don't think getting to 19th or 15th is too crazy of a goal.
No,
and if
it's
you put
not.
That with the offense, then what are you?
Yeah, ideally.
And is he young enough to fit our age criteria yesterday to give up this much capital for the young, controllable star?
Fringe.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they can get to if he's
25 like Sauce, would you rather trade
him for 25, I would have done it.
Would you rather trade it for Sauce?
No. Because that cost would have been too high. That would have been much higher.
He's going to play probably...
He'll age better than Sauce because of the position.
He'll play 36 games here before he turns 30.
Yeah.
So, he is young.
Like, yeah, the defensive tackle will age better, I think, than a corner.
Bob, if it was this capital for Max... Hendrickson, Quinnen, Simmons, put them in order.
If we're just talking in a vacuum, who's the best of those players? It'd be Max. It'd be Max, Quinnen, Simmons, Hendrickson.
Max, Quinnen, Simmons, Hendrickson.
For making this team better right now, or for addressing what this team needs, it's Quinnen, Simmons, Max, Hendrickson.
Quinnen, Simmons, Max Hendrickson. Okay, because of the run defense
just
problem?
Because of, yeah, what it is that...
And you have Clowney and Ezeraco
emerging.
You've
got Clowney and Ezeraco on the edges. They're playing well against the run. They're rushing the passer. Right now, you have been getting just bullied on the interior, has been a big part of it. And so if you've got... if you've got that stabilized, that makes more of an impact than getting somebody else to be a better rotation on the edge.
But, you know, if you look at it, like, defensively, they're better. Like we said, get to the 15th best defensive team in the league. Now, you assume the offense has got to be there. If they don't re-sign Pickens, then I don't think the offense can get to that spot, right, to where they're a top offense in the
league. They're a top offense without CD.
Huh?
They were top offense without CD.
Can you be that long, like throughout the entire course of the year? Can you sustain that?
Yeah,
because they haven't sustained.
Because the offensive line issues have cropped up. But I mean, if you're blocking things up well, then yeah, they can do that.
You know, like it's again, you know, like to me, this was not a good football team. This is a team that's far away. You know, the amazing thing about the Cowboys, the maddening thing about the Cowboys franchise, they invented the blueprint on how to win. Stockpile draft picks, and they did it. And they immediately said, you know what? No, I need the big-time name player, and I need to make a splash because I need to be in the headlines. They had the blueprint. They did it again. They did it. The only thing that was missing was the first-round drafted quarterback, which, you know, they haven't done since Aikman. They had the formula. They did it again. But football guys got to get in the way. Football guy loves this move. Football guy, you know the guy I'm talking about. The guy who's into the game and says, run the damn ball. All right, run the damn ball. That's football guy. That same guy has never seen a bottle of sunscreen before. All right, that's who I'm talking about, and they love this trade.
All right, I've been waiting to see if Bobby Belt would back off of this. A lot of hype and a lot of excitement from Roberto. We're only in the studio for one more show. But nonetheless, RJ Choppy, get out. You are Ernie Johnson. Little notepad.
Okay.
Get out the sticky note.
Where are they?
Take it away, Bob.
Did we move them to the new building yet?
I don't know. Here, there's a sheet of paper right there. Yeah, so yesterday, the biggest disappointment about yesterday was that you didn't get Minka. Because if you get Minka.
And you told me in the hallway you think Minka's price was probably a second?
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, he's still a very, very good player. And he's younger. Like, I mean, he's not 25, but I mean, he's managed to be in the league this long. He's still not even 30. But I think if you get Minka, that changes the entire shape of your defense. You would be talking about, you'd be addressing real, like you'd be getting the best player on each level of the defense right up the middle. So you'd be getting somebody on first, second, and third level of the defense right up the middle that would become your best player on those spots. So that would just change the entire complexion of your defense. You didn't do that. So I'm not going to be able to just like start going, hell yeah, they're making the playoffs. But
here we go.
You did do enough in.
We don't even need Mickey Fisher this week.
No, you don't. And you know why? Because you got reality right here talking to you. You've got Quinnen Williams stepping into the middle. Kenny Clark and Osa playing better lately.
Booger McFarland said you now have the best pair of defensive tackles in the league.
Slow down. but you've got Kenny Clark, Osa playing better. You've got Quinnen Williams there. The edges and Ezeraku and Clowney stabilizing. Fowler's been better. You're starting to look and say, okay, defensive line is improved. You've got Logan Wilson, who I'll show you some cut-ups here later. I don't know how much we can throw on the fan cam. I'd like to, but otherwise I'll just tweet him. Logan Wilson, it is... Even this year, if you just take clips from this year, it is so plain as day that he's better than anything you've had at linebacker.
I saw some.
He's so much more instinctive and sees things the right way and is really disciplined and patient. You're going to get Overshown back, which I don't know if Overshown's going to play well. He's got the knee that he's coming off of. That's not the point. The point is Overshown will tell everybody where they're supposed to be. The biggest value in Overshown right away, whether he's hurting or not, is he's going to direct traffic and say, you need to be here, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing this.
Oh, that's a strength?
He's a big strength of his. He's not been the green dot guy, but he has been the guy who, when they're in it, go, no, get in here, move.
Ah.
He's very good at communicating and seeing what they're supposed to be doing. So all of that right there, Dallas will not lose more than two games the rest of the year.
Ooh, Josh Clark.
Dallas will finish above 500.
Web guy, get this on a t-shirt. Two games.
Raiders, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, Vikings, Chargers, Commanders, Giants. They have two losses the rest of the way. And it's because, like, I mean, you're talking about they're averaging giving up 143 yards rushing per game right now. They might give up 143 yards rushing one more time this year, two more times maybe.
Whoa.
because in large part, it's just no longer going to be an efficiency thing. Teams are going to look at it and go, okay, it's not pick your poison. We need to throw the ball.
Uh-oh. So that's important.
So there's going to be more of that. But this is absolutely a...
The last sticky note in the history of the morning show at 4131 Central Expressway is a damn bold one. 9-7-1 for your Cowboys, and they will not allow over a buck 43 on the ground for the rest of the
regular. No, they'll do it one or two more times. That'd be it.
One or two. Okay.
One or two.
And that's their average. No, that's their average right now. They won't allow more than that one or two more times. But that's where
they're definitely improved. There's no doubt. Like and the teams you're gonna have to face in the NFC, like you do need someone strong up the middle. Helps with the tush push. Helps out all these. I mean, if you play Detroit, you got to get pressure up the middle on Goff.
If they had
easy way to get him off balance.
If they had Logan Wilson and Quinnen Williams here at the start of the season, they're 6-3 right now.
So who are their losses?
You're still losing to Chicago, Denver, and Arizona.
What do y'all think?
I mean, the defense played pretty well in the second half against Philly already, as it is.
Nine.
I'm saying Jalen Hurts is not doing the scrambling that he's doing in that game. They're not scoring every single of the like first four drives like they did.
9-7-1, and this is why I really wish they just would have done the deal in the offseason, because you're going to mess up the draft pick when... But I'm not even agreeing with Bobby, for the record. They are going to lose, guaranteed, 1, 2, 3. They're guaranteed to lose 4 more games.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We need another bet.
You want to lose another one?
Because you're off at... Well, I'm not feeling great. What happened last night in the association?
They didn't play, neither one of them.
Okay, neither one of them played.
Yeah, right. I've been checking every day.
You still... And... This should really be bi-week conversation, but you're still horrific in the secondary, and now I'm worried about you being able to pass block. Now, secondary helped by this up front. No doubt about it. We'll get into all that stuff later. What do y'all think of what Roberto said? Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Let's get to post-hut.
Yeah, let's see just how bad it was for this above 500 football team that they will become, the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, 469, Bobby making Mickey Fisher look like Stephen A. I don't know what that means, because I would think that Stephen A is going
making
to be
Mickey look critical, like a hater. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I would like to remind people, last year was the only one who didn't pick them to make the playoffs. And not only that, at the start of the season, I said they'd be 7-10. They went 7-10. And before the season, I said they were 7-10 football team. So I do not just like glaze them on this.
Let's make a bet on 9 wins.
Okay.
I'll take the under, but we'll figure out the stakes.
Okay.
Maybe it'll be a stake.
Maybe it's double or nothing.
I get a free one from Wildfort.
On the Lakers bet.
That's a lot of money.
I know it is. That's a lot of money. That's why nothing could be a nice little reason.
I'm just dumbfounded because you're putting this. You're basically saying that Quinnen Williams is worth like 5 wins.
Okay, so first off,
and in Vegas, like that's no defensive player has ever been worth more than a single win.
No, I'm saying defense is worth 5 wins.
Better
defense is worth 5 wins. This is not just what you literally just improved 2 levels of the defense that you don't have. We're talking about no resistance, none, and on those 2 levels for several
versus
weeks.
Marginal resistance.
No, versus that defensive line is good now. That defensive line, that's a good... Ezeraku, hold on. Ezeraku's improved. Do we think Ezeraku's not a good football player?
Yes.
Ezeraku's good. Clowney has shown what he's been his whole career. He knocked off Russ. Now he's
And he won't be here next year,
now
by
But, Bobby, know, they don't have now. Corners that are in the screen. You're not going to fix Bridges, Bland, Diggs.
Right, but what you have done now is you have fixed the run game to where teams are going to go... We're just throwing on them, which means pinning your ears back, rushing. They're going to start forcing turnovers. They're going to start having benefits there. I'm not saying the secondary is going to be better. The secondary is bad.
Yeah.
Secondary is bad. But if you can just stop the run and make it so that teams are throwing consistently and you can change your rush plan, that's going to cause more stops, more turnovers. All that's going to get better. All right. Let's take a look at things. This is going to be a mainly trenches-focused post-hot clarity because everything was pretty much as bad as you thought it was that you could see on TV. But I'll start with the stuff that's not the trenches. Deron Bland was that bad. He was. That was a bad day for him. And I think it was... I don't know if it's just Marvin Harrison was just a really good matchup. Like it's a Styles make fights
thing. He hasn't been for anyone else.
That was that was not a good performance from Deron Bland. I just think he was not seeing things. Like I'm just genuinely saying, I think he was just misreading things in a way that he doesn't normally.
Was it zone?
A lot of it was zone. Yeah, he got picked apart.
Was the 50-yarder Wilson coming out of the third quarter zone?
Yes. Yep. He's not. He's generally been a pretty good zone player. It's just I think in this one there was a lot of misread from him, and I think a lot of his keys were off. And of course, he had the stumble on the goal line that allowed the touchdown, but. He was bad, for sure. A lot of people were bad. Marquise Bell was awful in this game. Shamar James was awful in this game. Like, really bad, bad football. Dak did not play as bad as I thought he did. Dak was okay. There was a couple of throws that I think he wants back, but this is not the worst game he's played this year. Like there was talk about of like the QBR being the lowest one of the year or whatever. I don't think that's accurate at all. I mean, I know the number is, but I don't think it's accurate that that's the worst he's played this year. So let's go to the trenches. The best player on the football field for the Cowboys on Sunday was Tyler Booker, and it was not particularly close. That was a really, really good performance from him in pass protection. He did some nice things in the run game. A lot of that efficiency you saw in the run game from Javonte Williams was just Tyler Booker being a bully and moving people. But in the pass game, I thought this was probably his best game of pass protection that he's played all year. So he was really, really impressive. That gives me some confidence that we're settling down a little bit and we're getting some stability there. Playing alongside Cooper Beebe, I also wonder if that was part of it.
How was he?
He was decent. He was not bad. He was better than Hoffman's been. Guyton. Tyler Guyton is, I'll give him credit for this, he's not Mozzie.
Well, go. Well, great. Well, we fantastic. Traded?
Put that one on the wall, Chop.
He's not Mozzie. Up there.
Huh? He's not Mozzie. Yeah. Tyler Guyton is not Mozzie.
Do not waste paper on
no,
that.
No, I'll say this is that when I say that, I mean he is not somebody who's gotten beaten down by his previous failures.
Pouty.
I give him credit for being more mentally tough. And because he's mentally tough, he battles. And even though it's not always pretty, this is 2 weeks in a row that even with it not being pretty, he's getting it done. And there are times he'll play with some nastiness. He'll put people into the ground. And so I like what I'm starting to see. I want to see him clean up technique a little bit. But if they can start cleaning up some of the technique and he can come along, you got to remember he was like a defensive tackle or something when he got to TCU. And then he was playing right tackle at Oklahoma. Now he's at left. It's a change. But that's somebody who I think you're starting to see, okay, this is getting better. And if you can clean up some of the technical stuff, by next year I think you're talking about this is a good starting left tackle in the NFL. So okay. I'm feeling better about him. Good. Terrence Steele was that bad as well.
Ugh.
Nathan Thomas was worse. Significantly worse, I thought.
Oh.
And Steele was bad. Steele, I do wonder how much, I know some people are going to roll their eyes at it. The fact that he did have the migraine and he was questionable heading into the game, I wonder just how, there were a couple different times where he was stumbling. I genuinely wonder if he was like, all like it had all his bearings about him because he did not look like he was very balanced in pass protection. He had a lot of issues there. He was fighting. He was not just like, you know, whiffing and doing stuff like that. He was getting beat and looked off balance a lot. But then Thomas came in there and Thomas got worked bad, bad, bad. That was a genuinely awful performance from Nathan Thomas stepping in and playing at right tackle. So I don't think you can necessarily, I was ready to make the change in my email on Monday. I don't think you can make the change right now. That was really, really rough. If you're going to make a change, you need it to be a completely different player than Nathan Thomas. It can't be him because it's worse than it was with Terrence Steele. But overall, I think that the offensive line individuals are getting better now that BB's back and they're hopefully healthy and they've finally got the line together that they were supposed to have this year. Hopefully that'll start settling the unit into place. But individually, I think they're all playing fairly well right now other than Terrence Steele. Tyler Smith has not been great lately. I mean, there are moments where you see it and go, oh, okay, there's Tyler Smith. He's got to be hurt. Because I'm just saying, it's like Zach Martin last year. When you watch Zach Martin, you're like, that can't just be all fall off. That you're hurt. You're not physically where you need to be. Tyler Smith, ever since that leg injury that, you know, kept him out of that game against, was it the Jets, I think it was? When he got kept out of the Jets game because of the leg injury, ever since he's returned, he's looked compromised. So I think that may just be something he might be dealing with for the rest of the year, potentially. Because we don't even have clarity on how much it's lingering, but it's clearly affecting him. Hopefully the bye week does him some good and the offensive line starts cleaning things up.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here we go. The NFL trade deadline just passing 10 seconds ago. What else is going to come in under the wire? Stay tuned. We are watching everything. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. I guess the Jags ended up trading for Jacoby Myers, the wide receiver from the Raiders who has wanted out since training camp. He finally has a new home. He's heading to Jacksonville to see if they can get things going. The Jags were rumored to be shopping Brian Thomas Jr., but they end up adding a wide receiver there for Trevor Lawrence. But the big news here in Cowboys land is going to be two trades on the day. We woke up with Logan Wilson coming to the Cowboys for a 7, and then about 2 hours ago now, the Cowboys trade a 2027 first-round pick and a 2026 second-round pick plus Mozzie Smith to the Jets for one of the best defensive tackles in football, Quinnen Williams. So I think it's a day worth celebrating for the Cowboys, but if this is all that they were going to do, it's just a long-term building situation. I guess it'll be up for debate, but I would be shocked if adding these two players fixes them enough to mitigate the absolute disaster that's been happening on the back end. I guess coming out of the bye, you'll get Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker back.
Hopefully, Savone Rebel.
Savone Rebel.
And I don't know what to even expect there.
But yeah, and you got Carson, too, that I felt like, and I'll get into it at 340 in Krusty's Corner, but, I think that you maybe found something there from what I saw him playing in that football game.
And so it might be time to give Zion Childress an opportunity.
Helping some coverage stuff, yeah.
They just played so much bad football, even when they were healthy. I guess I haven't imagined that them getting healthy, adding a couple of players at the trade deadline.
Oh, like, it might be too late.
It
might be too late.
I mean, and even if it is, I would just like to see signs of positivity heading into the offseason. Like, could Savone Rebel at least show enough to be like, okay, that's a starting corner for you next year?
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, along with what you're seeing from Ezra Raku and Tyler Booker most weeks. Maybe you can make some positives out of the season as far as building for the immediate, but I'm not seeing anything else. Are you, Chief? Anything else popping up here on the wires?
There was a, Saints are trading Trevor Penning, their offensive lineman, to the Chargers, probably for that Joe Alt injury situation there. So that's the deadline deal that Schefter just pumped out. I'm not seeing anything else, though.
Okay. Yes, the Jets were by far the busiest team of the day, and by trading Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams, they are the first team since at least 1995 to trade multiple former AP first-team All-Pro players on the same day. What do you think about that overall strategy? To me, you're never that far off in the NFL. I would be holding on to my best players unless we found ourselves in salary cap hell from going for it and we need some sort of salary cap relief. But I'm trying to keep guys who are 25, 26 years old that have been all pros already.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like with Quinnen Williams, he was clearly unhappy and made that very known. And so you get a quality deal in return for him. Okay. And Sauce Gardner, I think you got like an absolute home run deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like you got two first round picks for him.
That was an overpay to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. That's a touch of an overpay, especially from the Colts standpoint. It's like, wow. So you're really confident that Daniel Jones is your guy? Like they're not going to keep any options open for trying to maneuver to get a quarterback of the future. They're just going all in on Daniel Jones. Okay. So for the Jets, I think I don't mind what they're doing at all.
What'd you think about Ben Solak, who tweeted that Sauce isn't an overpay? It was Micah Parsons that was an underpay.
I agree.
Okay, yeah. If you put it in those terms, I do think Micah was an underpay. So, I don't know.
I think that's the Cowboys mismanaged the timing of it, yeah. And that goes back to the lack of the plan. Right, their intention was to have Mikey here, and then when the feelings got hurt, and they decided to move him, the timing now is like it's a week before the season starts. So like maybe the Jets, maybe they could have orchestrated this deal. Now, you know, with Quinnen Williams and they move from Sauce Gardner, that frees up some cap space for them. Could they then have given Micah a contract that he wanted? Maybe. But instead, at the time, the Jets weren't able to do that. So now you've only got a short list of teams that could not only pay Micah, but also had a player that they wanted in return when they were looking at the defensive tackle spots. So you were limited. And Kenny Clark was the guy that they wanted. So they ended up trading with Green Bay.
Yeah, I guess if Kenny Clark was a few years younger, it would be different, but it's hard to consider the long-term value of Kenny Clark if he's just going to spend 1 year here and then be a cap casualty. But this is, you know, why I think you want to maybe wait, because teams are going to be willing to give up more now when they know they're in the fight and they have a much clearer idea of what their needs are. But you don't end up getting that much more for Micah than what you gave up to get Quinnen Williams. And depending on where those picks fall, like the draft points on the board might be kind of similar. When it was a 1+ for Quinnen Williams, I think that, you know, the story changed a bit about 30 minutes after the trade when it came in as a 1 and a 2. It was nice. They're going to go ahead and take Mozzie Smith off your hands. But where you come out on this, Brian, underpay for Micah, overpay for Quinnen Williams?
I think it's probably an underpay for Quinnen Williams myself. I think Dallas got a hell of a deal in here, you know, with the fact that to me this year one, and then you've got the two ones. I mean, it sets you up if for me having
to
that,
go for it in 26.
Yeah, well, that just to get the quality of the player.
Hmm.
You know, I think when you look at like with Quinnen Williams, look at him, you know, Donovan Ezeraku. I mean, there's some hope there now, but you still got a couple of those, you know, you got a couple of those ones to be able to do some stuff with, you know, free agency. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, I wish they could have made this trade earlier. I mean, I wish this was a trade that was done, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but it is what it is. But I think that you actually underpaid for Quinnen Williams myself.
Well, you know, I do think there's an interesting evaluation though here, guys. Can we do a little bit of math?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not good at math. And my 14-year-old is going through the same process of realizing what, you know, trigonometry and algebra and everything is just more than our Dawson brains can handle. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my sympathies go out for her. Please sympathize with me. But I mean, you gave up 2 ones for Micah. Assuming Green Bay goes on runs, those are in the late 30s. You give up a 2 that could be what, somewhere in the early 40s? Cowboys are going to end up with. Yeah. Top 10, maybe top 12 in the draft order. And then the better of 2 ones that could be in the top half. Like, let's say it's 15 and 45 or 230s. Which would you rather have? I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is on that, but I'd say I'd rather have the 15 and the 45. 15, I'm at least going to get a first round graded player.
How much is the extra $20 million factor in here? Because you're paying $26 million APY for Micah. Quinnen versus 46 for Micah. Now, I mean, Shereen Williams makes a good point. You could end up now having Quinnen Williams in a couple of years. Is he going to want a new deal? And what would that end up being? But at least for a couple of years, you're saving yourself $20 million in comparison between the players.
Yeah, you know, at some point, I think when you're team building, it's like the dollars are the dollars, and you have to decide from a front office perspective if you're going to move the world to make sure you can fit good players under your salary cap, or if you're going to say, oh, we can't add these players because of the salary cap. You can do whatever the hell you want. Howie Roseman just proved that. And teams that are winning the Super Bowl are making sacrifices, taking future dollars to pay now. So it really doesn't matter who the names are. You're just rotating good players on a team that's never going to get over the top because you can't possibly draft well enough to put that many good players on your team. You have to bite the bullet and say, hey, let's move future picks for paid players now. Let's absorb the salary cap hit however we have to, and let's try to win the Super Bowl. This is, you know, to me, what was so frustrating about 21, 22, and 23 is at the trade deadline, the Cowboys wouldn't make a move like this.
No.
That was the time to do it. When you were good enough to win, you just had a hole at this spot. That's when you go for the Quinnen Williams. Now it's like, okay, you got Quinnen Williams, so you're a little less crappy. And you're still five players away from trying to win it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying on that. I do. They are frustrating. You would like for this to be the over-the-top move to help you in a season where you are actually in contention. You're at the top of your division, things like that. So yeah. I get that. They are a little bit weird in the way that they time this out and when they decide to strike on something.
Yeah.
And I would rather them be the type of team that's going all in when they're rocking and rolling. And maybe tearing down a little bit more when they're not. But I do think Quinnen Williams is a hell of a player. And
sure,
you have him for the next few years, and it's a position that they struggle evaluating in general. So,
yep.
I mean, I'm here for the trade, but I get what you're saying on that.
Okay, the 682 says, so we're done. Yes, absolutely. Nothing else has come in. There were no late wire additions.
It's over.
Sorry, I guess I should have drawn more attention to that. But to that point, Eric, Brian, Wolchuk, audience at 877-881-1053. Text in what you're thinking. Please leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous. Go ask Rodeo Ron. How about the Colts sending two ones for Sauce Gardner? That's exactly what we're talking about. And to me, it's a significant overpay.
Yeah,
you got a pretty dang good corner, but not a guy who's elite, not a guy that's dominant out there. And as the officiating has cracked down on his holding, his efficiency has come down remarkably. But the Colts are like, dang it, that's the best corner out there. Our defense is just pretty good. We can get beat. Let's go ahead and add the best corner we possibly can. And you know, maybe it does end up being an overpay that we regret. But we did everything in our power to try to take advantage of what is a historical offense here in 2025. If they could just, you know, not turn it over six times. That's crazy. They had four turnovers total going into week nine. They come out of week nine with a total of 10. Wow. Colts are doing it right, though. Yeah, that means, Jerry, you're getting outmaneuvered, outwanted, not only by Howie Roseman, but by, what is that? Is that Ursay's daughter?
No, that would
Chris
be
Ballard,
Chris
right?
Ballard.
Chris Ballard's mom?
No, Chris Ballard.
Oh, who's the gal on the sidelines?
Yeah, that's Ursay's daughter.
Okay, yeah, she's the owner. Yeah, that's the urgency and accountability and the desire. You know, that's the final decision maker on these things. Yes, we will go for it. Yes, we will sacrifice the future. We will overpay to do whatever it takes to get the best players we can get right now, not just whatever players happen to fall in our
he
lap.
He did that with Brinson Buckner, too, though, didn't he? Chris Ballard? Didn't he trade a
DeForest.
One?
DeForest.
DeForest Buckner. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
He,
yeah, I'm
yes,
sorry.
He sent a one to San Fran for him.
Yeah. So he's kind of had a history of doing things like this.
Okay, it is Quinnen Williams coming to the Cowboys, though.
He played 100 years ago. What am I saying? Seriously, he played like in the 90s. What am I thinking?
Hey,
you got a lot of players up there in that head, Brian.
I'm sorry.
They can get crossed up every now and then.
A lot. Yeah.
Why the Jets decided to move on from Quinnen Williams, quote, his relationships with the Jets has been deteriorating, and this goes all the way back to when they made the decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers. That's when things started to change. So he's a guy at this point in his career, he wants to win, and joke's on him because he's not doing it with the Cowboys either.
Yeah.
At least he'll be more visible. At least more people will see your highlights.
Oh, man.
What was the most frustrating thing about last night for you guys?
Deron Bland, probably. I mean, the offense in general.
Yeah, the offense only scoring 7 points. I was stunned at just how inept they were, specifically inside the red zone was really bad. And then just a lot of drops. I mean, Scooney had a big drop. Turpin had a big drop. CeeDee Lamb had a play where, I mean, yeah, I don't think Dak was at his best, but the pre-snap penalties, the holds that took away two first downs, one on Booker, one on Ferguson, and then the fumbles. A lot of self-inflicted wounds that are player problems. You know, like we can talk about the play calling, you know, Flus and the defense, 100%. I mean, those are all issues. But the one thing we felt good about and why we were kind of saying, hey, could you at least maybe go out at the deadline here, Adequan and Williams, to help you get a stop or two, the last 2 weeks, now all of a sudden we're like, how is this offense the same offense we thought they were? Because last night it didn't look like it.
Yeah, that might be the thing I think that's going to resonate the longest out of it. And they got to get the discipline issues, the flags taken care of, and, you know, stop the shooting yourself in the foot type of stuff. But who is this Cowboys offense now?
Yeah, see, that now this is the funny thing. People are asking me the questions, is Shoddy spending too much time with the defense, and is that messing him up on the offense? You know, and I don't know. I'm like, I don't know.
It's the job of a head coach.
Yeah, that's what
you
know, I was going to.
If that's an issue, then
I just
bad well, offensive line. It doesn't have to be a job for the head coach. If you have a competent defensive coordinator and a defense, then like Kyle Shanahan is spending very little time worrying about what Robert Saleh is doing, right?
Yeah, yeah. But now he is. Nick Sorensen was in there, he was probably in there every damn day.
Yeah,
when
absolutely.
It was Steve Wilkes.
Yeah.
So it's not a perfect world. It is unfortunate that it has to happen. Yeah. But given the circumstances, of course, if you're Schottenheimer, you're the head coach, you got to do what you got to do. But it's a less than ideal situation. I don't know how much of that is attributed to the offense also slipping now. I think your offensive line, I mean, the Cardinals are not a team that's just like pressuring the quarterback.
That's the Broncos problem.
You're like, hey, it is the Broncos. Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay.
That's the problem I have.
Go home and understand that. But when it's the Cardinals,
yeah,
man. Now, maybe the Walter Nolan stuff is a huge help for them. They haven't had him all season.
Josh Sweat is a stud.
Josh Sweat, no doubt. But that was like the one guy you felt like you had to worry about, and your offensive line got crushed.
Just saw how quick the pressures were. Like Dak usually is pretty good at being able to move around and kind of find a spot to throw. And it just, they didn't allow any of that in the pocket last night.
Well, they came into the game with 12 sacks total. That's like, what, 1.5 a game? They had 5 against you last night. So that's an interesting thing when you look at team needs going forward. I think Nate Thomas stepped in there and actually only played, what, 20 snaps?
Yeah.
He gave up the most pressures.
Actually, Steele gave up 6, and he gave up 5. But in the number of snaps he took, it was 19. It was 19 drop back snaps. He gave up 5 pressures.
So yeah, you don't really have an answer there with Nate Thomas. I think maybe right now you're thinking this is a quality depth guy and maybe a swing tackle, and we'll see how he develops over the next couple of years. But going into the offseason, if you are planning on moving on from Terrence Steele, you might need a new right tackle or left tackle.
Hey, I'm raising my hand. I'm the guy that wanted to see Nate Thomas play.
Yeah,
you know, I was that guy. And
maybe if you give him a full week of work,
I was all
and you
about
let him start.
I was all about blitzing and all about playing man coverage and all those things too.
Is Nate Thomas, was he a left tackle?
Yes.
And Tyler Guyton was a right tackle.
Yeah.
I'm just saying maybe that's something that needs to happen.
All righty, what needs to happen next is the C note here, Cowboys news of the evening. Then Krusty's Corner has some film takeaways from last night coming up for you at 3:40 as we continue to react to the news. The Cowboys have traded for defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. We're back with more sports here in the Nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Airo will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Airo can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.